everyone. I'm Alyssa.
And I'm Hannah.
Welcome to the Adventures in Odyssey Revelations podcast, where we discuss everything that has to do with Adventures in Odyssey. Thank you so much for joining us today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Adventures in Odyssey Revelations podcast.
We hope you enjoy the second and final part of our conversation with Sarah.
So, I think a question that I have, something we had on the list that I'm really excited because now you guys must tell me, what are some funny headcanons you have about characters? And try not to tell me the ones that you've, like, try not to say the ones you've already told me. I want to be surprised.
Okay. Well, we all know how Connie is whenever she takes medicine from the episode auto response. Like, she's totally out of it. She even thought Whit was Jason. So we were like, what if this happened between Connie and Jules?
Yes.
So we thought, what if Connie thought that Jules was Jason? And at this point, Jules has probably heard the rumors about Connie having a crush on Jason all those years ago and wanted to see if that was ever true or that is still the case. So she asks Connie and she'd say, Connie, do you have a crush on me?
Yeah. Like, look, Jules is great, but I feel like she would take advantage and start, like, asking her questions. Like, hey, Connie, did you see my jeans? Oh, you mean the ones that I accidentally bleached in the laundry room? It's like, hey, Connie, did you eat the last of my ice cream? Hey, Connie, what do you think about Jason? Like, she would do that and just blackmail her with it. Like, just keep it.
We said that's the stuff. Like, since you went, have you heard Let's Call the Whole Thing Off yet? Because otherwise, I won't say this last part to it.
No, I haven't. Okay. I haven't.
I'll keep it. But I'll say it's that Jules has a journal, so I say she writes all this stuff of Connie's answers in there.
Oh my gosh.
That's so funny. I know, right? Please, it's so awesome.
Jules would. She would do something like that.
Yes.
She claims it's out of love, but I don't know about that.
Yes.
Plot twist, the journal goes missing, and one of the places that she stopped at during the day was Triple J Antiques.
That would be so... I love that.
Jillian finds it, and she just, like, freaks out. She's like, I have to make them a thing now. Jillian feels betrayed. Jillian's like, you like Jason? Well, I like Jason. I'm going to go... battle between Jason. Oh my gosh, that's a terrible idea.
I love it. Oh my goodness, that'd be so funny. Yes.
It's Seth Green. Seth Green. Oh my gosh. No, not the actor. It's Seth Young all over again. Which one do you like? Neither one of you. It's like, wait, what? And then we end both Jillison and Jasoni ships forever, but that would be a lot of uproar from everybody. So we're not going to do that.
Speaking of Jillison, you said he has something controversial to share and what you, on your thoughts for their future. You did.
I knew you wouldn't. I forgot all about that.
I remember everything you said about that. So, you want to know. Yes.
Oh, goodness. You're talking about the message I sent last night.
Yes, you said that you want to see how things play out. So what does that mean? Like, what does play out? Like, that's mysterious. Like, obviously not very clear.
Well, like, they know, like, dig each other for a bit and they break up.
No, of course not. I think dating should be with the intent of maybe this is someone I would spend the rest of my life with. So, I mean, the writers, understand that, and, there are kids watching it. So dating is very, it doesn't start up immediately, and dating is very planned and very thought about and very, it's considered. Here it is. What future storylines would you love to see? Richard coming back, Buck being adopted. I'd like to see more of Jules and Buck growing up. Penny and Wooten being parents. I agree with this 1,000,000%. Oh, here it is. All I wrote was Jason and Jillian progression, and you two lost. What I mean by that?
You weren't that bad, were we?
I'm not going to answer that. I refuse to answer that.
Okay.
No, you weren't. So what I see is Jason and Jillian have a different relationship now, in the respect that it's not just going to be, oh, you're my friend's roommate, or, oh, you're my roommate's friend kind of thing. They work together. They're coworkers. They're going to, you know, whether they like it or not, have to get to know each other a bit more. And so I'm just interested to see how that goes about, whether it's romantic or not. Who's to say? I don't know. You don't know. We can't act like we know. You know. So, but like I had said before, when we've talked, the writers have seen how relationships have gone, and how the fans have responded to it. We had Mitch and Connie, we had Tasha and Jason. I won't call this a relationship, but we did kind of have a little bit of, you know, this attraction between Monica and Jason. And with all of that, we see how, they've seen how the fans react. And so I do trust them in respect to where this relationship is gonna go, if it ends up going the way that we planned it or not. But I think that they have a good understanding of kind of what would work with the fans, the parents of, you know, listeners that are younger, you know, and listeners like ourselves, that, you know, the show impacts all ages, of course. So taking all that into account is a lot. So I'm excited to see what's gonna happen, but I will say that I really enjoyed Nightmares by Constance. That was nothing I thought I would ever listen to. And I was like, this is such an interesting circumstance. And I don't know, I just thought that was really funny. So yeah. I'm not saying anything about my shipping with Jason. I think we've talked about this. All I want is Jason to find someone who completes him. That's it. And for, you know, Jillian and Connie and every other single person, honestly, the same. So I'm not picking characters. That's not up to me. I won't do that.
Well, yes, I just want Jason to be happy. Just some people I prefer to see him happy with is all.
Tasha Marie Forbes, that's it.
Okay, I'm not that. Okay, it's like the ranking. We have a ranking, okay? This exists. We're open to other people. We can, like, yeah, we are, you know, let it be said, we're not like Tasha and that's it, like no one else. It's just, you know, yeah, we're open to Tasha and Monica and Connie. We're open. We're
so
open.
Three characters. No, yeah. I'm kidding. Yeah, but if I can pull from Chris for a little bit, you never know what's going to happen. And I think that's been extremely evident. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see what is going on. So,
I mean, I have a feeling that whoever Jason gets in next is the person to marry. So I'm like, I'm very serious about this because I don't really know how many times he can, like, be in a failed relationship. So whoever he gets in next is probably, it's probably in game. I think so. Yeah.
I'm sure. I think something we just need to remember is, I think in the latest Q&A, they said that Jason is like late 30s, early 40s. And you know, like a small part of me is like, it's time, Jason. It's time. We need Jason to be a dad. We need Whit to have grandkids very close to home. It's time.
Please
write.
Yeah, it is. It is time.
Like, the time has come, part two, Jason edition.
Yes, it is definitely come, and I'm ready for it. Anyways, another controversial subject. Your thoughts on the Rydell revelation? I mean, Rydell so far.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Yeah, this was something I was like, how am I going to answer this? Honestly, of course. Let's see. When I listened to also like half of this podcast is just me saying that episode, I don't remember the title, but the one with the escape room, that
sacrificial escape.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sacrificial escape. I think that said a lot. That said a lot in regards to even the title itself. It just said a lot. And like, I'm repeating myself. I apologize. It took a turn that I didn't expect. And I think kind of a downside of being an older listener is I'm not seeing it from a kid's point of view as much. So I'll listen to certain things and it doesn't sound terrible. It doesn't sound like the craziest thing ever. But if I were listening as a kid, you start kind of questioning and you're like, wait a minute, this doesn't, like, if I were 8 years old or if I were 10, like this would not have been processed in the same manner. What I'll say of that is I did not expect the episode to really take that turn in regards to a loss of oxygen and, possible death, or possible death was like, you know, being spoken about, didn't happen, of course. What I will say about the Rydell revelations is when it was being advertised and there was a lot of talk about everything will be revealed, I did expect certain characters from the past to come forward. I know that Focus does talk about there's certain plots in stories that they leave a little open, and with the hopes that if it works with the timing and, you know, everything, that they can go back and make stories off of that. And that's what I was expecting in the Rydell revelations. I expected something to get pulled from maybe the Blackguard Saga or Novacom or the Green Ring, or even the ties that bind. So that's what I was thinking. I was thinking like characters we've never heard from are going to come back. We did hear from Tasha, but I thought it was going to kind of be on a bigger scale, if that makes sense. So when I'm, when we're listening and we find out that Mori and Suzu, and we realize this, not only are they incredibly gifted and talented, but we also learn that Suzu has kind of been involved in this whole thing and in all of Mori and Suzu's interactions. It kind of looks like she's a bystander. She's always asking Mori, did you do this? Wait, we don't want anything to go crazy. Well, what's going on? And so I think that was one of the bigger twists. It's that Suzu's extremely intelligent, but not only that, she's not turning away. She's involved. But in regards to what my expectations were, they weren't exactly fulfilled, if that makes sense. And I think that it was interesting to have the input where the big revelation is that the kids have been doing this mostly as games. We know that they were, basically the only kids at the embassy, if that makes sense. And they had the freedom and the resources to pull off certain, not crimes, but certain actions that obviously were not correct. But something about it just kind of strikes me as weird that, I don't know. I just think that the escape room was very, very offsetting. And I kind of refuse to believe, if that makes sense, that, Mori's defense when Wit's getting on him about all of this is, it was just games. It was just games. Snatching stuff from lockers, even though they've been returned, manipulating the security system in the school to open all of those lockers and kind of raise that and, bring a sense of kind of fear in the school and kind of paranoia. And it's like, who do we expect is doing this? What does this mean? It just doesn't seem like games at that point. It just seemed a little mature, if that makes sense. It just didn't seem correct. So Whit's approach was not what I expected. And I don't know. That's just kind of what I'm thinking about. And I'd love to hear your opinion a little more. But the whole thing was just very offsetting. And it just didn't feel like the kid-friendly thing they were making it out to be, that we were just playing around. We were just having fun. You stressed out a ton of people. Olivia pulled out of her college savings. You know, all these different things happened. And there was stress about people thinking they weren't meeting expectations and people having to go in and fix stuff. And it just doesn't seem like something very innocent. And it just didn't match up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It basically felt like more serious than what they were trying to make it out to be, more into these actions. And
yeah,
the explanation at the end, I could understand it somewhat, but
yeah,
still like doesn't justify doing that, especially like the escape room. I don't know. I guess we're finding something different, especially for Whit and his response to what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you've seen Ronnie has done things that people consider less than that, and he still went to jail a couple of times, I think. Or at least he suffered some consequences for his actions. And
yeah,
I'm not saying like Maureen Sidhu had to go to jail. I'm just saying I would at least have been reprimanded for it, or grounded, or something, or some rebuke for what they did. But instead, there was no, you could say, comment on it.
Yeah, exactly. And what does Raymond think about all of this? You know, part of me is like, he knows that they do all these things, and even in like the first chapter of our fan fiction, we know, like, he sent them away to kind of, you know, first off, he couldn't take it. He couldn't take being a parent with the absence of his wife, but also we know that it was to kind of remove them from the temptation of continuing what they were doing at the embassy. And I wonder how that call went in regards to, did they say what Maureen and Susie were up to, or did they more so focus on, Mrs. Mado turned out to be really bad, so I'm taking your kids in. And I don't know, I feel like maybe the attention went more to the Mrs. Mado thing, but I don't think it should be ignored. I mean, Emily's not okay. Emily, you know, and everyone else in Odyssey who's kind of been affected, it's like, you know, they did something wrong and they have to forgive, you know, like they should forgive them, but it affected people. And it just doesn't seem as innocent as they make it out to be. It wasn't just games, you know. So part of me even wonders if Emily kind of blames Maury for the Jones Parker Detective Agency breaking up, because it happened at the same time. And as soon as they get out, you know, Emily's like, you know, kind of like, oh my gosh, like that actually happened. Like, whoa, like I want to, you know, like let's get out of here. And then Matthew even says something about like, oh, like you can do it on your own, Em, now. And if you hear it in her voice, she's like, Matthew, like she still doesn't want to think about it, you know, and all of that stress, like you hear like pain in her voice. And I wonder if part of it is that she's mad at them for possibly influencing Matthew's decision.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, maybe. I won't say anything, but just listen, let's call the whole thing off, like the ending scene and
I think I know what happens, and
I think you're
looking forward to it.
Yeah,
looking forward to hearing it. Yeah,
very interesting, to say the least. That's all I'll say. And yeah, I have my opinions on it that I love to talk with you about, like what I think should happen, but what I think is going to happen. Yeah, after you hear the episode. And I guess you can go like who are your favorite couples on the show?
Oh, my goodness. Oh my gosh. Yes, I have my list. Definitely Jenny and Whit. That's a non-negotiable. I just love the way they interact. I love how they're able to, like, they have those sharp personalities and they can kind of get into arguments, and it's like, well, John, I said this. Well, Jenny, and then they just kind of mellow down and they're like, okay, okay, we're still on the same level. Like, you know, like we still have the same understandings. I love you, sweetheart, you know. And I could see that in Charlotte when they were kind of going back and forth and she's trying to calm him down, but she's also being reasonable. She's like, I know that was bad. I know it was bad that she didn't show up to Fiona's funeral. I know it was hard, but do you want to do the same thing to her? And, you know, it could, you know, in any other relationship or whatever, you know, it could have been anger or, you know, this isn't your place or blah, 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 blah. But there's that respect that she is truly part of his family in that, you know, she stands up for his family to him. And she's like, do you want to do that to Charlotte? You were hurt. Do you want to do that to her? And he's like, and I love that scene where he's like, when you just stand there all pretty and right, I really hate you. And I just love how they like both just burst out laughing. It's just such a good scene. And then Jerry had to go cry and wake it and like ruin everything, but it's okay. It's okay. Kids are, he was a baby, babies cry. It's fine. Let's see. Definitely Jack and Joanne. I've kind of been, I need to go back and listen to the scene where he proposes to her. I've only listened to it once. It's so cute. I just love it. They're just so sweet. They're just such a good couple. And they do have their arguments as well. When they fought in front of Connie, I was like, where is Jack getting this? Jack isn't like this. I was like, Jack, are you okay? Jack, it's okay. Just go to the basement like you were going to. Please don't fight. Please don't fight. And I just love how they approached it very calmly. And, you know, later she's like, I want to do this in front of Connie because we fought in front of her. And you just hear his little, all right. And I was like, oh my gosh. And he gets to the phone, like just so supportive. And I feel like it was just really a good thing, and we were able to see, you know, more of an older couple that started together older and got older together, and I thought that was really nice. I know that they're not going to bring back the characters because the voice actors have sat or, you know, have passed away, but hopefully we will get some kind of story about what happened, what they're up to. Let's see. I loved Tracy and Mike Mulligan. They were always joking around in the sense that it wasn't immature, but it was just this, you know, this immature, but not immature. You know, they were very, they just had that energy of kind of being like, or that attitude of being, you know, younger parents. And they were able to understand, you know, we have this spunky little girl who knows that her blindness is not going to stop her from doing what she wants to do in life. And we're taking on this kid from the city and all these different things. And I just love how open they were to like just bringing people into their family. And they're like, we are just going to say yes to God. And they just supported each other through that. I thought that was beautiful. And they're just wonderful parents. They're just so accepting. And I feel slightly robbed because it was like one episode, I think his name was Hector, the last one that entered the family before Tony and Brianna. And, you know, you have that whole exchange with Tracy and him and how, you know, they're there to also, of course, bring the kids up spiritually. And he's like, how can I be grateful, you know, if my friends are starving and, you know, in Bogota, and I'm half Colombian. So I was like, Colombia, yeah, you know, it was nice to have a character like that. I loved that. But yeah, it was a good representation of being there, you know, for the kids. And then, of course, the Washingtons, Elaine and Ed. I love them. They're just, oh my gosh. I think one of my favorite scenes with them is when they decided to adopt Kelly. And then Ed's like, I feel like I'm in the waiting room again at the hospital. I was like, oh my gosh. It was just like, they just have so much in their heart to give. And it's just so evident. And they're able to have that, you know, joking and fun relationship with their kids. And Elaine has that sass and she's not afraid to like bring it out. And I love that so much. And Ava and David are really good because I see for them, it's a lot of like discipleship, if that makes sense, you know, with their kids, the Bible studies. I could be completely wrong, but I think that's with the Washingtons and the Parkers. Those are the families where we've really seen like the devotions and the Bible studies and stuff. And I really love that aspect. And when they were giving advice to like Wooten and Penny, and they talk about expectations and how Ava wanted to feel protected and David wanted to feel, you know, more of like a pacifist in the sense that this doesn't have to bother us as much as you think of it. You think it really is bothering us. And I loved that. So who are your favorite couples that are not on this list?
Well, I would say Eugene and Katrina. Do they have to be together? Like, I mean, I guess maybe these are past. Okay, we can just like, oh, I almost know we get together. Okay, so Eugene and Katrina, because they're just so perfect for each other.
Yes.
And they balance each other out. Like Katrina, like she's, you know, is very smart and intelligent, but she also has a more, I guess, human side to her, and it helps to like, just balance out Eugene. Yeah. And you can just tell, like, she's like his other half, and they sweet each other.
Yeah.
And then another couple that I love is George and Mary, because they're just perfect, and the whole family, like, I really, really love them, and I miss them not being on the show anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
And the thing was, I mean, yeah, I guess I'd put Doris and Bart, like, I don't know.
I'm sorry. I was tempted, and I was like, I can't think of anything to, I can't think of a reason.
I think it works so well together. Like, yeah, like, they like did a scam, but whatever. They're still, like, you know, so cute. And you can tell, like, in some scenes, like, either their genuine, like, affection and love for one another. Like, when he was going, when at the end of Prequels of Love, and he ended up calling her and saying that he loved her and everything, which she first thought was, like, a prank or something, you know. It's like, no, this is real. This is me. This is Bart.
Oh, Bernard and Maude. We heard it like in two episodes. But like, hey, whoever can put up with Bernard deserves a little trophy, because Bernard is Bernard. But we know that he's very sweet inside, and he's a giver, and he's super kind. And even though he doesn't, what was it? He doesn't like, what was she? It was in Poor Loser. Salmon patty and Brussels sprout or something. He's like, ugh, like he just doesn't like her cooking sometimes, but it's okay. I just love how she like tried to analyze him, and he was like, can you just think about, I don't know, maybe I might like you? And she's like, that doesn't fit my questionnaire. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And then of course, you know, I love Tasha and Jason, which goes without saying. Yeah. Every episode they're in, I love it. It's great.
I know. There's, because I guess one of the reasons why I like them so much is because, for one thing, I have lots of inspiration for storylines. Like, there's so much, because we know each other for years, so I have a backstory there, lots of history and tension and drama, and I can kind of like stuff like that, so I can like I can really think of some good stuff for them.
And then also they just like work together so well, and I have like a really close relationship. And also like the different things they do, like the different games they have and the way they communicate through Morse code, I think it's just the cutest thing ever.
I know.
And they have the same kind of like share the sense of humor. So like the thing I showed you like yesterday for the applesauce program, they're like,
oh my gosh, that was so cute. I'm now tempted. Wait, did he actually say the whole thing about like applesauce and pork chops?
Yes.
That was I listened to that episode and don't remember that.
Oh yeah.
I'm tempted. I'm tempted to try that now. Like I love applesauce, but I'm like tempted. Like, should I do that? I don't know. It's either gonna taste great or disgusting.
Yeah, it was an episode, Accidental Dilemma.
And yeah. I don't remember that. I did listen to it, I just don't remember that. I can go without listening for that, if anything, to just not listen to the whisper, try to laugh. Jason just had to say it. He's like, you really need to work on that. No kidding.
God, the worst bad guy laugh ever.
Okay, but best bad guy laugh, Regis Blackguard all the way. I know. All the way. Like, Edwin could not even do that with all of his, like, you know, vocal exercises. Couldn't even do that. Regis was a whole thing. I was like, oh my goodness.
Like the laugh at the end of Checkmate after he like his wits in his mind. It's so.
Yes. I think the one that always gets me is when he realizes the laptop is Wits, you know, and he's talking and then he starts laughing. And then while he's laughing, you just hear him say Whitaker while laughing and then continuing. And I was just like, no, no. And then Chris is like, uh-oh, who is the person behind that laugh? I'm like, you and I both know Chris.
I know, no secret here who that is. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. And like another couple that I enjoyed hearing was Connie and Mitch. Like, you know, obviously they weren't perfect, but they were still so sweet together. And yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, even though I knew it was happening, like, you couldn't help but like them in those episodes. They were so good.
Yeah, they were really good together. Great chemistry.
Yeah, and then especially, you know, that scene when they first met is still iconic, you know.
Oh yeah,
boxes. Yes. Yeah, there was like this Valentine's Day listening party, so that like different bands were listening to all these romantic episodes, and everyone was like chatting at that part when the she was like green eyes.
Oh yeah,
I love that scene. You know, so
like
the box is so great.
I just love the ending where it's just like, I know you're not a flake. She's like, that's the most romantic thing anyone could ever write. I was like, Connie, you have fallen head over heels, like that's it, Connie. I was like, oh my goodness. Wit and I had the same thought. He was like, oh boy, no.
Yeah, she's far gone now. Yeah, you know, she likes him and there's nothing anyone can do about that.
Yeah.
So another question was like, what future storylines would you love to see?
Oh my goodness. I think I listed them, yeah. Richard coming back, which is a whole story I'd be happy to share.
I'm set for that one.
Definitely would love to share that one. Buck being adopted. I think that goes without saying. That goes without saying. It's going to happen. We know this. I do want to see more of Jules and Buck growing up in Odyssey, kind of more of what Odyssey High is doing, like to them, what they're doing in the sense of, you know, what is high school doing to them? How are they going through, you know, are they going through the motions? They both are trying to make their mark. Buck's on the football team. Jules is getting into music more and more. There's, you know, this big sense of identity that's coming up, and it's really exciting to see more of. Right now, you know, it's kind of like Buck is seeing himself more as a Meltzner, whereas Jules is kind of doing more self, if that makes sense, self-exploration. Buck is doing that, but for him, he's realizing I'm a Meltzner. Whether they say it or not, I'm a Meltzner. I am a firm believer that Penny and Wooten are going to be parents very soon. And I was really sad. I am happy that Charlotte got pregnant. We never hear from Charlotte. And I was like, yay, Charlotte's going to be a mom. But I was kind of sad because, you know, like they shot down that idea that like Wooten and Penny were pregnant. So I think it's going to be a few albums before that comes up because it's kind of too soon, if that makes sense. But they're going to be such great parents. And
it's about having a baby in Odyssey. The last was Stuart, which is inexcusable.
he barely had any episodes to be in. Like, if we have like babies in Odyssey, like they're not, you know, like I just need to hear them do like whatever baby. I just need to, yeah, just hear them do baby things. I just need to hear them like do their little antics. Like, I need Wooten picking up the toy like for the millionth time because they're just like throwing it across the room, or you know, I need to hear them trying to get the babies ready for like their little photo shoot. Like, I need to hear these things. I just need to hear them being parents.
I know, I need to hear them being parents. I need to hear Aunt Connie,
Uncle Jason. Yes. Oh my goodness, those kids are gonna be so spoiled. So spoiled.
I know, right? We just have to have them hear them holding a baby.
Can we have Jason? Can we have Jason and Connie like babysitting?
I was just gonna say yes. Babysitting. Like, that story would be like amazing.
Yes. Can we have them babysitting? Like, maybe there was I know it was on Tumblr. I cannot remember who said it. But they were saying like Connie, was it, maybe it was you guys, but that Connie and Jules would babysit or something like that. It was just like, they were like, it would be absolutely like chaotic. But I'm just saying Jason and Connie babysitting would be really funny because like Connie knows how to deal with kids. And so she's like trying to figure it all out. And then Jason's like, oh, what do I do with this thing? Like, and it's like, don't set it down, hold it, rock it. He's like, what? Like, he was the baby of the family.
Yeah, then for like, you know, it's like been obviously a while because it's been a little bit since Monty and Jenny were that age.
That's true.
I feel like he, you know, he like maybe like was more into like, you know, spoiling them, spending time with them, and then like the actual like diapers and stuff. It was like, here, Jana, here you go.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. He was like, you can take care of it, Jana. Like, I'll spoil them rotten, you know. But the agency didn't teach me to do anything of that. It's okay. You can take care of it. Yeah.
And kind of be like, you know, it's not like a big deal. Like, you can take care of this. Like, you know, I have to go like get the baby's bottle or something.
She goes to go like prep their bottles, and in those like 10 minutes, something happens. Something chaotic just happens, and she just walks back in the room and she's like, "What did you do?" He's like, "What did I do? Like, do you not see like what, like whatever mess they made?"
Yes.
He would not be able to even like spoon feed them. Like, if he tried, it would be a whole disaster.
So funny. Another thing that I would love to see is Everett and Leonard, and hear more of their characters and what mm-hmm. they're up to, because like, you know, that would be like so amazing, as we have not heard from them in like so long. And now for them to see back and everything, it'd be like, great.
Oh yeah, we need a bunch of family reunions on this show. We need like
one
month Nurse Shanks one, we like a Whitaker family one, and yeah, the list can go on and on. And then obviously I love like another saga like Novacom or Blacker or something like that, which is awesome. First, you know, as you said, Richard coming back and Tasha coming back to the show as well. And I would love to like hear from the Barclays again. Like, I don't know if that's really likely, but, or the Washingtons, or some family that, you know, we all love and we'd love to hear from again.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. That's exactly what I put. I put closure on plots. You know, there are certain parts of the saga that leave you hanging and wanting more. You're like, whatever happened to this character or that character? And the last one I put was, you know, who is the chairman? I kind of want to know. It's been a while. Everyone's met the chairman but us. And I'm not liking that very much.
I know. He said, you know, it had it right there. Like, this is over for now. So you're elite. And then, you know, once again, we didn't force you to write that. You wrote that. So you had to bring him back.
What if the chairman is like, do you think the chairman is anyone we've already met?
Or like maybe like, if not that, then maybe like the chairman. I'm pretty sure he's like knows people that we know. Like, I don't know. I would just love to like, we need, yeah, you know, we need connections. We need to know who he is.
I think Mr. Groh answers to the chairman. Like, the chairman is involved in all of this.
Yes. Everyone's like, you know, looking for those connections.
I know, right? We can like, yeah, we have this whole like, that's great, because I'm kind of mad that we didn't get the backstory to how Jason got connected with Mr. Groat and became like the Sleto and his trusted person before found out he wasn't. But still, we didn't get to hear that.
Yeah, last thing we heard, like, he was just going basically like in the French Riviera or something under an alias. And the next thing we know, he shows up and he's the solo. So how did he find out about this?
Yeah.
It would be cool, like, if the chairman was found out, like, when his cover got blown, he was like, oh, because it's also a bit of a spoiler. But not, I mean, sort of. Do you want to know it or not?
No, you're fine. Okay, no worries.
We know from the books, the Blacker books, that mm-hmm. Dr. Reedus Blackard, he's the chairman. And yeah. They funded his like project in trying to find the Rufu virus. So he said he was like, basically, it was a fantasy. So he cut his funding. So we're going to work on another project, which I think they were alluding to, like, the notebook box and all that. So that's why Blackard was like, okay, I'm out of here. So I'll deal with you guys. So the chairman, I was like, probably aware of all the people and I see all this goings on, because probably kept tabs on him. So, and he was involved with Dick Grote, and he would find out that Grote knew that Jason was this letter. He was like, okay, I'm gonna plan this plan and go to Odyssey and exact my revenge. But I know where everyone is now, so I'll have the upper hand. Very interesting.
It's so much. Like, it's been years, and I'm like, do I want to know who the chairman is? Because I feel like if we ever really find out, honestly, Odyssey's never going to be the same. We're going to look at all the storylines completely differently, because, like, you know, like, in regards to, like, you know, the books are coming, you know, the Blackguard books, you look at the episodes of the Blackguard saga differently, because you know all this, like, information, like, behind, like Richard's backstory. You're like, Richard's not a punk kid. He's just going through a lot, you know. Whereas when you're just listening to the episodes, you're like, Richard, you are so annoying, you're so stuck up. Because my introduction to him was Eugene's Dilemma, and so I was like, who is this arrogant person who likes to play pool and is calling him, was it Multi Baby? Oh no, what was it? Yeah. I'm not gonna try the voice, because anyone is gonna be able to hear this, but it was like, I'm a Renaissance man, I dabble in a lot of things. Like, that's how I was introduced to him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, very arrogant, very stuck up, very, and like ignoring Nicholas. Like, it's just, I don't know. That's not Richard. Like, my thing is, maybe there was some kind of character change throughout, and they didn't want Richard to play the role that he was as much. But it, I mean, the beginning of Richard kind of sounds like he really had no regard for Nikki's safety. And it's like, how could he do such a good job of being so, like, callous, you know?
Yeah, there's stuff that is in the books, like, very interesting things, for sure. Like stuff about the fire, Tom's barn, everything, and how it was not exactly what it seemed to be.
Oh yeah, that part. Wasn't it like he like burned like a pile of like debris or something, and then was it something like that, right? And then like one thing after another, like the barn caught on fire.
Yeah, that was correct. So he was just trying to have like a little fire behind the barn, just to enough to distract Tom to come back without actually setting fire to the place.
Yeah,
and it felt like that was too much even for him. And unfortunately, like I believe it was like some wind or something, and the stray spark flew onto his jacket, and so basically he just tore it off and threw it, and it hit the barn, and then the whole place just went up in smoke. So yeah. Yeah, it was very, very interesting. All the parts of Richard were interesting.
Yeah. And I think that was something that was added later, because then it would have been in the episodes, like, you know, Richard kind of pleading with Tom. It's like, it wasn't my fault. And, you know, Tom's kind of like, yes, it was. Like, you decided to work for Blackguard. It's like, no, the fire wasn't my fault. But it was something that was added later. So,
yeah.
I think that's interesting. I don't know what else, is there anything else? I'm not sure.
Okay, let me see. Oh, yeah. There's one more. If there's one thing you could have changed in AIO, what would it be?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I know question, so gonna make it all nice and juicy for you.
My goodness. Anything I could have changed.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be like actually like a storyline decision. It could be like maybe like a character coming back that they didn't, or anything at all. Like down relationship or yeah.
Honestly, if there's anything I could have changed, that is such a hard question. I think I just would have kept certain characters in. I mean, I'm not gonna like choose a certain one, but I think there were certain characters that were cut out that weren't necessary, that still would, I would say, serve a purpose with the skills that they had, with the experience that they had, with stories that were, you know, that they were a part of. And I feel like they could have added more. Obviously an example being Richard. I do think Tasha, you know, if she wasn't, I think that she could have still been involved somehow after. I see why not. And I think that it would have been a lot different if she wasn't, you know, in album 50, but she was. And I think that that was kind of the good decision of showing that, like, even though things kind of, you know, ended in a certain note for the relationship, it shows, you know, that that trust and kind of that endurance of their friendship. And it's like, I'm still there if something happens. And it shows the connection to the past episodes, but I kind of wish there were just other characters that could kind of tie us back to the past episodes and past sagas. You know, because I know that AIO is like, you know, it's getting, you know, more new, if that makes sense, day by day, that certain characters are not being put in the show anymore, and then new ones are being added. And that's obviously, it's change. It's totally fine. But I think there are certain characters that would have been, that would have served a good purpose kind of still being on the show. And it does give old and new listeners, it gives old and new listeners that like kind of nostalgic feeling of, you know, like this is all, like, remember, Odyssey is this big continuous story, whereas some people are kind of separating Odyssey in regards to like the three voice actors for Wit. Like, this was old Odyssey, this was mid, like, you know, the old, like, this is the older Odyssey, this is old Odyssey, and this is the new version of Odyssey. And I don't think it really needs to be that way, because then you start kind of getting picky about, well, not picky, but selective about how kind of grouping everything, like, you know, in the newer version of Odyssey, they talk about certain topics in the old version that they didn't talk about, and vice versa. Whereas I feel like you have to remember that this is all the same city. I can't even think, has it been maybe 15 years in Odyssey time that stuff has been going on? 15, 20 years?
Oh, well, it's been like 11, 12. We plugged a detail calculator.
Okay, 11, 12, yeah.
Which you,
yeah. Oh, that makes, yeah, 11, 12. That makes sense. You guys do the math and all the fact checks. I'm like, okay. I throw a number. I remember one time I was like, yeah, I knew Jason is like 6 feet, and I thought it was 6'2", and you guys were like, actually it's 6'2". I was like, I thought I remembered that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it would be nice to kind of have like the older characters to tie everything in. Just remember that Odyssey is continuous. And I don't like when it's like broken into, you know, sections, but I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that there are a lot of characters that, even if you could say a relationship with the main characters ended, I don't necessarily see why they had to run off the show. Like, in spite of how sad it was, Mitch and Connie, I would have been fine with Mitch being there without them being together, but just because it was so interesting in his own right as a character by himself, that it would have been okay with me if he still stayed around, or we could still see him from time to time. Same thing with Tasha. Like, as, you know, as much as I liked her and Jason together, I would still be satisfied with her still like being a recurring character, we still get to see her and Jason as friends and stuff. I don't see why, just because a character's break up, the other character has to get the boot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with that. And also, like, how you were saying, like, that feeling of continuality throughout the show. Almost like, I remember in the episode, Kind of the Counselor, how they were referencing different things that happened in prior episodes. And I'm like, I really like love that. I like how we see these characters mentioning these different events that happened in their lives and like connecting it, because it still is the same character, or the same characters, you know, even if it feels like a different era, as people would say, it's still, you know,
same people.
Yes. And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the danger of separating is, like, you know, not each section of Odyssey covers the same thing. There were, I would say, a little bit more mature topics that were covered in the past, and mature topics, of course, that are covered now. But, you know, it's not going to be the same for each thing in, like, regards to what was covered. And so when you start thinking about the storyline and you're like, oh, I don't like this or I don't like that, you can kind of start missing out on these other stories and these other lessons. And they're all, you know, they were made for a reason. They're all integral, you know, for the listener. So yeah. This was a question that I was like really, really wanting to ask. So if you guys don't mind, can I finish with this?
Yeah, you can ask.
Okay. So I asked you your funny headcanons, but I have compiled some that you guys have never seen. So this is kind of a surprise for everybody. I just picked a bunch of characters and I kind of went for it. I know you guys sent me lists, but I didn't do them all. Okay. So, I guess I'll start with Jason. I am a firm believer that he blushes. Like, he just, like, blushes when he's, like, the slightest bit, like, uncomfortable or, like, slightest bit embarrassed about something. And I don't know, maybe it's happening a lot more often because Julian's around doing certain antics, but okay. I do think that he wears reading glasses. I think that he does, and he hates it because he feels like he's old, but he needs them. And so I don't know why, but I kind of just see him like in the antique shop, like, you know, looking at like estate sale ads and things like that with his little like reading glasses. And it's like his, like, he just hates it so much and only like a certain amount of people know. And he's like willing to kind of look like kind of dumb. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I can see that sign. And or like, I can see that thing right next to me. And it's like, Jason, just put the glasses on. It's okay, man. Like, but he's like, no, I don't want to be old. It's like, it's going to be his worst fear when he like turns 40, if he's not 40 already, you know? And I don't know, maybe this is a little like oof, but I do think that he probably has a little bit of trauma because of all the blows to the head he took during the agency. I don't know. I feel like he might get like headaches sometimes or something like that. Like, I don't know. And I do think he broke a few bones in the agency. I think he did. He definitely did.
Yeah, probably.
Include that in a fanfic? I don't know. Maybe one that we were talking about today. I don't know. His arm was killing him, remember? So Whit and Jenny, Whit picked up the piano to impress Jenny, because I feel like Jenny was this big lover of like classical music, and so was he. They would waltz to 40s music. I know this is true. Oh yeah, so I'm sorry, what?
I was saying, that's so sweet. I know. Yeah. So good.
So for Wooten and Penny, kind of about them being parents, Kimmy Robertson, the voice actor for Penny, said that she would love for them to have twins, like a boy and a girl. And I feel like with Wooten, with all the weird things that like he has in their house, he would make them a treehouse that looks like it's made out of like giant popsicle sticks. So it's like a giant popsicle stick treehouse. But I think that he would make them characters in his comics. Like, he would create them to be like characters. Oh. And like so that's what I think. Let's see. Oh, so kind of going to the Rydells. I think that Maury and his mom were like super, super close. Like, he was a mama's boy, respectfully, of course, but he was just, I think that Raymond put a lot of pressure on him to, you know, not to fill his, like, shoes, but to be, like, kind of see, like, you come from all of this, and you have all these resources, and you need to, you know, be successful in life or whatever. And I feel like his mom was the, was, like, you know, gentle and kind of the voice of reason for Raymond. And she kind of, like, kept the peace as much as she could. And I think we don't see it, but I think Maury definitely has a different, has a different level of kind of grieving for his mom than, like, Suzu does, just because they had this, like, closer relationship. My goodness, what else? Oh, yeah. I think Tasha could drive a motorcycle since she was, like, a teenager. She could. Jason had to pick it up later.
Yes.
And I feel like the first time she's like, get on the motorcycle. He's like, are you, like, do you know how to drive that? Because, like, it's this huge motorcycle. And she's like, who do you think you are talking to me like that? And then she, like, shows him up and he's like, oh my gosh. And then two more about Tasha. I think that Donovan, you guys know this one. I think that Donovan has a way closer relationship. And I know the books are giving the relationship to be really, really close, but I like to think that he knew her since she was really young. I think that Donovan and her dad were really good friends when they were in, like, the academy. And I think that Donovan is her godfather. So.
Oh my goodness. I love that. I love that. I have so many ideas right now. It's so great. Yeah.
I just think the relationship is so much closer. And, like, you and I, like, we've talked about Donovan being super protective. And I think it would be really funny if there was some kind of misunderstanding and then Donovan is just, like, yelling at Jason in the office and Jason's like, I don't know what to do. Like, what, you know? And then for Eugene, I really, like, my headcanons for Eugene is that I think that the reason he never, like, picked up a doctorate degree, which still baffles me to this day, I don't know how he's been in school so long and still doesn't have the doctorate degree. I think that it was more because he wanted to spend the time with the family, kind of like when he gave up the position to be to get the tenure in the episode, like, Old Tricks. I think that Katrina is, I like to think that Katrina's looking to get, like, the full teacher certification and maybe become an administrator one day, like assistant principal or principal. She definitely could do it. And she knows it'd be, like, really time consuming, but it would kind of happen when, like, Buck is already in college, which would be really, you know, like, she would have more of the time to do it and not feel like she's missing out on their, like, family dynamic. And I would say a wit, like one of the wit headcanons I have is that he still is in touch with Bernard.
Yes, I love that. It's so beautiful.
Yes, too. I know he is.
I mean, I don't know where Bernard is, but he needs to talk to somebody from Odyssey. And sometimes Wit just likes to tell him what's going on because, you know, Bernard comes up with the craziest remarks. And he's like, Wit, am I going to have to go down there and fight somebody with my squeegee? Because I will. And it's like, no, Bernard, we're fine.
Well, yeah, we have a few. I don't know if they're all, like, funny, but we have some other ones. I don't know if you saw this one. You might have. I'll just say it anyway. Basically, like, I imagine that, like, growing up, like, Jack was extremely close to all of the Whitaker kids because Wit was often away. Like, I feel that, like, growing up, like, he was a good father and, like, but he never was really, like, hands-on or there as much as he could have been. And so I feel like when they lived in California, that Jack would often come over and he would, like, spend time with them. And, like, that's the reason that, you know, Jack and Jason became so close and why he always, you know, referred to him as, like, Uncle Jack. And he knew a lot of these things, like, from Jason's childhood. I don't know. It's just something that I feel that they would have done. know, I just, I love their relationship so much. It's so good, the show.
So I love it. It would work out so well, to be honest. And I mean, they're like, that relationship with like Jack and Jason is definitely, it's there. And it's super close. Like, they were able to, you know, talk and kind of have like that banter. And I think that's why they're falling out at that moment when Jack was like stepping back. Like, I think that's why it hurts so much, because they do have a good relationship. And Jason, kind of like what Joanne says, you know, she was always like, Jack is such a pushover. When she said that, I was like, Joanne, you did not just say that about your husband. Like, I never, like, okay, Joanne. Like, I was, I don't know, that just like weirded me out. I'm like, okay, like, it just sounded like a whole, like, call, like, she just called him out, and I was like, that, what? But I think that's true in the sense that they were really close, and he never thought, like, anything could ever push Jack over the edge in that manner. And then when Jack just resigned, I think that's why it bothered him so much. And even Connie noted, she's like, what's going on? And he's acting like Jack died or ran away. I'm like, he's still living in the same house, and you calm down. But it's because the relationship was so close.
Yeah, it's so, I love that part, like you said, it just, I know, right? It's so good. Yeah, I love all the episodes with their relationship. It's one of my favorite ones on the show. I know, it makes even more, their scenes even more impactful, especially like in a question about Tasha and knowing what happened with Jack and his wife, and just, it's so, and he didn't want Jason to go through that. It was just so.
Oh my gosh. Another episode I've only listened to once, and I'm, there's a lot of like the hard episodes I've only listened to once, and I'm like, I don't want to do it again. I don't. Clara once. That one, or a question about Tasha once, you know, it's hard. But when it's hard to listen to, it's because they're very well written, and you're it's just because you don't want to feel the emotions again. But hey, if something like that can make you feel emotions like that, then it was really well written. So
yes, it definitely was. Yeah, I remember when we first listened to a question about Tasha. This is sad. We didn't really even like know much about them as a couple, because mm-hmm. it was like one of the first ones that we heard. I remember us still like not even knowing what eloping meant, but I was like, okay, what does that mean?
Oh my god.
Make sure you got back to get married.
You were like, I only know of marriage.
Yeah, and like the whole scene at the end, and that when Jack was talking to Connie about, you know, what happened with his like wife, she was like, oh, this is sad. We were like, what, 9 years? 9?
Yeah. I'm gonna respectfully say there are certain episodes where it's like, I'm glad I didn't hear them as a kid, because I would have freaked. Like the whole, I didn't think anything of it, you know, as an adult. But then when Richard was like, but I can do better with this gun, I was like, that was a kid's show. He pulled out a gun. Like, it was a water gun, but still the music and getting blackered on his knees. I was like, if I were 9, whatever, you know, it's like, what? But that's why I say it's for all ages, and I love it.
Yeah, then same here. I will agree with that statement. This is what our mom says all the time. Like, it's not for kids. She was like, because we like played some episodes for her. Like, you know, like she heard some like the Novacom saga.
And Justine being off the road. Oh my gosh, that should. Oh my, that should never. No. For me, it's hearing it the first time doesn't freak me out. It's the second time, because I realize that actually is like permanent in like the Odyssey history. And it's like, that actually did happen and get recorded.
It's eerie, that scene for sure. It's just, I wonder, and it just poor Mitch having to deal with that. assuming, I guess it just really caused him to really become Aram and try to bring it down, Novacom, so. Yeah. Or a reason, like, I'm like, I miss Mitch so much because that whole part with him, when he was working with Borland, their whole relationship, I love that so much. It was like,
yeah,
it was like almost like Donovan and Jason 2.0 in a way. Like,
that's what I was thinking about. Oh my gosh.
Like, oh yes, like, I love this, and I needed more episodes with it. Same with,
but Maureen and Tasha are not alike. Okay, but I would like to raise a concern because it's just, how do I even start this? Mitch wanted to do anti-terrorism. He said that. Uh-huh. So I'm kind of like, why were you doing art heist stuff with Maureen? Like,
how do you, we were saying the same thing, like, what on earth, like, how do you go from like being in the anti-terrorism division to doing investigating art forgeries? It's a little, I don't really see how, I mean, I'm sure it's kind of a little important, but I don't really see how that impacts the lives of millions either.
Like, I just like to know, like, how that transition happens, like, how we decided to go over to that.
I mean, the whole thing, it's like the whole thing of you going to Budapest was to be in the anti-terrorism branch. Then you're not even there anymore.
Yes, I just felt that. And I was like, what? Like, what is that? And I mean, obviously, I'm sure, I don't know, obvious. Hey, maybe it's for the best. Maybe he wasn't supposed to be an anti-terrorism because he realized it was going to be too much on him. But then I also just was like a little bitter. I was like, you wouldn't even do anti-terrorism. Like, what? Like, you know? And part of me felt like his character didn't really change. When Justine, or not, oh my gosh, not Justine, but when Maureen, when she defended herself and, like, you know, brought Eugene down, when you listen to his response, he was like, oh, that was so cool. He sounded like this, like, that was the exact same way he sounded when he was getting the offer to be in the FBI. And it didn't sound like he had matured. And that actually, like, cut me in my heart. I was like, where's the growth? Because you sound like, like, you know, it was like more and more pieces, and I was like, was this even for the best? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just, like, hurt. I was like, it doesn't sound like he's changed as much. He kind of sounds like the, you know, the same kind of young adult that's like very, that was like, that thought this was all just cool. And I was like, be quiet, just be quiet, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm on a similar way because with that story, like, I understand why they did it, trying to, I guess, fully close the door on Mitch and Connie being a couple. But at the same time, I almost would prefer them just to leave it with the something blue. In a way, but I guess not. It's like, okay, you bring Mitch back for that. Like, I'm sure you can bring Richard Maxwell back again. Just saying, you know.
Hey, like I said earlier, you know, we need to just write out, we just need to write message. Like Nathan Carlson, he said in an interview years ago now, but he said it. I will hold him to it. He was like, yeah, it'd be cool to do it again. And I'm like, please, two words, just anything.
Yeah, so take anything at all, just a little bit of something, and I'll be happy with that, at least for mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back on the show would just be incredible because he's one of my favorites and his story's just not over. There's so much more to explore, and especially, you know, with all your headcanons you have only so
well. Yes. I'm happy to share with Focus. I think it's in character, I hope. And that fan fiction, or what I wrote, is basically the way that we met. That's what I had. And I was like trying to reach out, and I was like, well, I want to talk about Odyssey with them. And I guess something to kind of break the ice would be a fan fiction, or, you know, the chapter I had written. And I was like, hey, do you guys want to look at this? And yeah, so that's how I would see it, that he kind of took on the uncle slash, you know, father role. But you know, that he's had to, that he still has his questions about Odyssey and what's going on, and is it time to go back and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. But fingers crossed he shows his face again.
Oh, yeah.
But if he did, like, the whole Odyssey community would just, like, freak out. Like, that would be what we would, like, talk about for probably days and days and days.
Yeah, like, analyzing, like, every single word he says. Yeah, every breath he takes. We're like, after this word he took a breath, what does it mean?
Yes. I know, I was weird doing that. After we heard, like, the Raya revelations and going through, like, every single word that, like, Tasha said. Like, I don't know. We were just, like, in complete disbelief that that happened. Like, because I, like, seen somewhere. I don't remember where it was. But basically, like, someone had asked the whole Odyssey team if Tasha coming back was, like, a possibility. And basically, they, like, wrote back and said, like, no. Like that was never gonna happen. And so I was like, I was like, okay, like I accepted it, even though I wasn't really happy about it. I was like, okay, and they said it was, and it was. And then suddenly, when she appeared again, I was like, wait, what? Like, you just did a complete 180, and this, like,
when how Jerry keep this from us?
This was the best surprises like ever, and I was just so happy. And all I wanted, the only thing I wish that would have had was just for a scene between Jason and Tasha, but hey, I guess.
I mean, like, seriously, he's in, like, every other mystery story, and you couldn't have one scene of him in part three. Like, you know, he could just be like, you know, show up at the shop, like, hey, and he, you know, to him it was like, because all this took place, like, one day, it wasn't like, he probably didn't really know what was going on, so he would just show up normally, like, hey, and like, wait a second, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Why you see Emily and Amori and Suzu? It's like, wait a second, Tasha, what are you doing here?
Yes. It could have been something very brief. I think something we talked about was, like, if the kids had to go back to Japan, which I don't think is going to happen, but what if, like, Tasha tried to see that everything was going well and, like, was making sure that Jason wasn't going to be home, and then Jason just walks in because he forgot something, and he's just like, oh, why are you standing in my house? Like, why are you standing in my kitchen? What are you doing here?
I know.
And it's like, and you know, Mori and Suzu, it's like, by the way, you know, oh, which, you know, leads me to kind of advertising our fan fiction. If you want to know if there's a possibility that the kids know more about Tasha and Jason's relationship than is canon at the moment, it's chapter 2 of The Priority of Patience. Go look for it.
Yes, go check it out, guys.
Oh, and then we're releasing the last chapter of that fic a week from next Saturday. And then it's over. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I know, right? And I'm like so, like, proud of all of our hard work on that, because it turned out great.
It was a lot of fun. I'm ready for the next one.
Yeah, I'm ready. But yeah, it was definitely one of my favorite things I've ever written. And so I'm really proud of it.
Yes, I am too.
It was really enjoyable. It was really fun. And I think we chose a really good topic. And it had, you know, the content of, like, humor and emotion and, you know, like, just relatability. I actually got a comment today, and I asked what their favorite part was, and they said it was the exchange between Pole House and Jason when it was like, you want to make that 600? No, I'm good. And I was like, they were like, it was really in character, and I was like, you can thank Hannah and Alyssa for that, because it was gold. I loved it.
Thanks so much. I read the little part there.
Oh, we both got that.
I wrote it though.
I'm okay. But, like,
we did say that, like, him, like, saying something like that, and then Pole House just being like, give his usual self, like, you know, hey, let me, like, 600. Like, I'm okay. Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. But yeah,
like, he wouldn't have bumped the charge up, but he's like, try me, and I just might.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the whole part at the end too, with like in the first, I mean, the third chapter.
With oh, yes.
Jason and Suzu and we're in the car. Like, you did a great job with that, too. Like, the whole.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Sweet. Yes, I have a great time with that. With, like, getting those emotions and just, yeah, expressing it. It's really fun.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we've gotten comments and people, or, you know, like, the comments you got from that one person, you know, was really comforting and awesome and supportive. And, you know, they like how it kind of ended, you know, the way it worked out. And I was super, you know, I was like touched by that. I was like, thank you. I'm so glad that, I mean, I think the biggest thing for the three of us is make sure that it's in character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sure of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Done with it. Yeah, but I really, really enjoy doing it and hope we can do a lot more in the future.
We have so many ideas. We've texted and I made a list. And so I have a list in my notes. So, you know, if we ever want to get some votes for people, we can ask what they want to hear, or we could ask them to, I don't even know, but it would be a lot of fun if we had
people or something like that.
Yeah, like a poll and kind of see what happens.
Do one of those.
Do it. Let's do it.
Yes.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4 to 5 we've already kind of thought about. So that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes, it would be.
I'm sure that list is just going to
grow.
Huh?
I said I'm sure that list is just going to grow because it seems
like. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I have a new idea almost every day.
We literally talk like every day. It's just so funny. Like, we'll just talk about fan fictions or like how we're doing. And like I was saying, we were just so eerily similar. The first time I talked with you guys, I realized you guys own the same shirt that I do. That was a whole other level. I was like, no. We are definitely triplets.
And drink the same brand of water.
We drink the same brand of water, yes.
Yeah.
And what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, we are terrible at driving go-karts. Terrible. And there was just like other stuff, and it was like, and then we both spoiled the Novacom saga for ourselves.
Yes.
So,
and we have 2 cats too.
That's true. We have our cats.
Yeah, and they're like little babies.
Yes. Is that Snow or Pepper?
That's Pepper. Yep.
Aww. Sadly, no one on the podcast can see this. Oh my goodness. Aww.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to describe the cat. You would just have to be here in person or virtually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a cute baby. Yeah. I'm excited. We have our fanfic list and it is growing. I think we have just so many like headcanons and it's just like, whoa. You know?
Yeah, I didn't realize how many we had until we actually started listing and writing them and sending them to each other. It's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think we came up with 2 ideas today. Those are 2 on the list.
It takes us to like.
I'm not going to say anything else.
Yeah, neither am I. My lips are sealed.
Yeah, I can't. You'll just have to go online and find the poll and vote. Oh, well.
So I just want to thank you again for joining us today. This was so much fun. Or should I say tonight or what, you know?
Morning, whatever time it is right now.
Yes, yeah. Thanks so much for joining us. Yeah, definitely have to do this again sometime.
We will have to. I loved doing it. Thank you for having me. We literally figured this out in like less than 2 weeks, and it was just, or around 2 weeks. And this has just been so much fun. We were like talking about what we were going to talk about. And it's so great to finally do it and kind of share our ideas with everyone else. So, yeah.
Thank you once again for listening. Make sure to join us again for another episode of the Bitches and Aussie Revelations podcast. Bye, everyone. Bye, guys.